purebred local. And the Colorado transplant, perspectives a mile high. Inside the Fan Cave with Max and Tony Comis on Mile High Sports.
Who's got $260 million?
I know.
Hey, the Powerball is actually something like that. 350 or 270. Inside the Fan Cave. It's Tuesday, baby.
That's it, baby.
What's up, Max? LJ Maximo to my right. I am Tony Comis. We're inside the Fan Cave alongside us. Opposite of me is Kyle Bell.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
What's happening? No problem, man.
We needed some more cowbell. We needed some more cowbell, bud.
Very well played.
We needed some more cowbell, baby.
Nice.
Repping the Rams, too.
Holy moly, guys. Do we have a show for you guys today?
Isn't it a beautiful day for sports talk radio? We got a golden nugget put in our lap. Let's talk Nolan, Rockies. March Madness is coming. Nuggets versus the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I actually watched some college basketball
tonight.
This weekend. Oh, yeah, that's right. Nuggets and Thunder.
Yeah, it's a great day to be on sports talk radio.
Inside the Fan Cave, live, local, mile high. You can get on with us. Today we're going to be talking, we're going to get into some CSU spring football, kind of walk through what that is. Everybody knows all these, you know, all the teams right now in America, they are going through spring practice, and then you got the spring game, which all the fans love. It's another reason to tailgate. You get a little taste of football.
The second season, right?
The second season. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. That's what I kind of want to get into with you, Kyle, is to kind of understand and kind of give the fans some insight into what is spring football from a player's perspective.
Right.
And a coaching perspective,
right,
too. So we've got the talk text lines 303-831-1340, or you can grab your iPhone, Android, download the Mile High Radio app, tune in 24/7, 365. Go online, milehighsports.com, watch the live stream. Listen to the podcast all on the MHR app.
Ooh.
So we get a lot. We got CSU.
I just got a tweet.
Congratulations.
First one.
It's official.
What's official?
The Nolan Arenado agreement is official. So Gil Whiteley, if you're listening, it's official.
Applause.
It's on the Rockies Twitter. So
no going back.
Nope. We got
him for at least another 3 years.
Yes.
Yeah, we got him for at least another three years. James Merrillat, also known as Manchester, Director of Business Operations for the Colorado Mammoth, will be joining us here in the hour, as well as we'll be talking about that, of course, the biggest news of the day, Nolan Arenado deal. Did the Rockies and Monfort overpay? That's the question that I want to ask you guys. I want to hear from the fans. Did they overpay? And I'm going to give you kind of my opinion on that.
That's good. Yeah, personally, I think it's a win-win. I mean, Nolan is Nolan. He is a once-in-a-generational type of player. And what the Rockies are doing and their vision right now with Breidich and everyone involved in that organization, from the Class A ball all the way to the big league roster, there is something good brewing in Rockyville. And with this deal with Nolan, I mean, this ain't a flyover city for baseball anymore. Coors Field, it's like Disneyland for adults.
For a hitter.
And it's Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly.
Hitter too. I love it. But there's just something good going on over on 20th and Blake, and it's just getting started with this Nolan Arenado deal.
I gotta say, I applaud what the Rockies did and Jeff Breidich, like you said. There's part of me that kind of believes if Dan O'Dowd was still at the helm, this deal doesn't get done. You know, that's really kind of what I believe, and I know we kind of talked about it last week, and we knew at some point Nolan was probably going to become the highest paid player in baseball, as long as that happened before Bryce Harper signed his contract.
Exactly.
But it was either going to be with the Rockies or with somebody else. And it's so awesome. It just feels so good. And we know we got this guy locked up for hopefully the next decade.
Man, that's going to be sweet. It is going to be sweet. We got another special guest joining us.
Yeah, second segment, right? We're going to bring in Frank Gonzalez. First show, if you guys will remember, those who are following the podcast on Mile High Sports, we had Marco Gonzalez. Well, we're going to one-up that and actually
keep it in the family.
Keeping it in the family. The man who gave Marco his DNA, Frank Gonzalez, will be joining us, who is with?
He's with Lancaster right now. He's the pitching development and coordinator for the Colorado Rockies. And if you're wondering about all these young pitchers and why we're having success, well, the guy that's going to come on at 6:15 is going to tell you a story how and why it's happening. He grew up in Colorado, a Lahana native, went on to Colorado State, got drafted by the Detroit Tigers, had a cup of coffee in the 40-man roster with the Yankees, and then went back to CSU to start some baseball, and ended up getting Marco, you know, he's just a first-round kid for the St. Louis Cardinals now, and he had a great outing with the Mariners, by the way, today. Marco pitched three innings, had about five punch-outs, had a really good outing for spring training against the Texas Rangers. So it'll be good to hear from Frank. He's a great baseball mind, and he's one of the secrets to success for these young Rockies pitchers coming up.
That, I'm looking forward to that because, yeah, that's kind of what is the special sauce, for lack of better words, that's being used. Because right now, those pitchers, the pitchers that we're talking about, like your Sensatella, like your Marquez, like Freeland, these are guys that all played a huge role in the outcome of what was able
Marquez,
to happen today.
What
the Rockies were able to do today because they've had the success with these young guys coming up through the organization and not having to go out there and throw out $100 million signing a Mike Hampton, one of the worst deals in history.
Don't bring that up on Nolan Arenado Day.
No, you're right.
Denny
Nagel.
Touché.
No, don't touché.
Yes. This is Nolan Arenado Day.
You have to look at
we can't look back.
All the different things that actually that take part and played a huge role in letting today become what today has been, which to your point, it's Nolan Arenado
Day. It's a monumental day today for Colorado. I mean, there's so many good things happening. Just reading Twitter and hearing about the Rockies, and then the Nuggets are making their playoff push. They got a big game tonight. You know, there was give it up for the prep state championships. The wrestling took place at Pepsi Center. They just crowned all the four-time state champions. I mean, so many good things that are happening right now. And we haven't said one word about the Broncos yet because we got the combine, you know. Everybody's talking combine, and what's Elway?
The underwear Olympics.
Yes.
Well, I liked a tweet that Philip Lindsay put out. Today,
that was a good.
You know,
one.
If you didn't get the invite, don't fret. Yeah. You know, and you know, you are in control of being able to make.
Brody Oliver, huh? Let's give a shout out.
Yeah,
that's Brody, man. Brody, if you're listening, your pro day's coming, buddy.
Yeah. So that's that. You know, the combine is something that I'm still trying to figure out how the invitation system works with
did they have combine back
I was not invited to the combine you know I was hoping I would but you know in the back of my head I knew I probably wouldn't but it was all about for me the pro day and just showing up and putting up the results on that day
and strategically when you talk I think the pro day is better to get a better look personally. I
it's mean, a little more.
I think it depends on your position.
That's true too. And what the teams are in need of.
There's not quite as many options as far as you're catching balls from different guys. There's a lot of different other athletes you're really interacting with on that same level. Obviously from the team standpoint, the NFL teams, there's not as much in depth as far as the interviews and really diving into your personality.
Did you take the test?
The Wonderlic. I can't even remember how I scored. I think it was, you know, it was right in that whatever they call average at the time. So, you know, it's not as tricky as they make it sound, but it can throw you for a few loops.
Yeah. 40 times, everything.
Yeah. That was a long day because you condense everything that's accomplished in 2 and 3 days at the combine into one day. And I just remember going through my pro day and I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Absolutely exhausted afterwards.
What a day for sports.
Big stuff here on Inside the Fan Cave. Every Tuesday, you can listen to us from 6 to 7 o'clock.
Oh, ticket giveaway.
Hold on. Tease.
I get
excited. Stop it right
Tony,
there.
I'm sorry.
Stop it right there. We're going to tease that. There will be some tickets that will be given away tonight, too. And it might have something to do with the purple and black. Speaking of purple and black, we've got Frank Gonzalez, Lancaster Jethawks, the High A affiliate of the Rockies, coming on to talk about these young Colorado pitchers that are now.
We'll get his Nolan take, too.
Oh, well, absolutely. We'll do all of that when we come back, Mile High Sports Radio.
Inside the Fan Cave with Max and Tony Comas, Tuesdays at 6 on Mile High Sports.
Welcome back inside the Fan Cave here on Mile High Sports Radio. In studio, former CSU great Kyle Bell. Kyle Bell with us. I'm Tony Comas. Alongside me, LJ Maximo. You heard right there, quite the shot from Nolan Arenado, who hit quite the shot today.
True.
$260 million shot.
His banker's sure happy. I'll tell you that.
That was a good one. The Father's Day Grand Slam walk-off. True Rockies fans remember that. It was one of the best Mile High Sports covers. And speaking of CSU greats, we have right now, quick rundown. Again, a Lahana High School graduate, went on to Colorado State, competed in baseball, got drafted by the Detroit Tigers as a left-handed pitcher, went on to have a great career, and he even punched out Todd Helton.
I did not know that.
I was there.
That's a tough guy to strike out.
Yes, I was there for that. And now he's in our presence. Well, not presence, but
Frank Gonzalez, presence. Did you bring me a present today?
Yeah, Max is always asking for some sort of present, obviously.
Oh, man. Thanks for joining
how
us.
How are you guys? Good. Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Big day today for the Rockies organization and getting, you know, the face of the organization locked down for at least, and I hate to say, at least 3 years. There is an opt-out after that, but 8 years, $260 million. Frank, how do you feel about that?
It's crazy, man. I tell you what, the organization, the kids here in camp, everybody was talking about it this morning, and, you know, it's big news and obviously a great thing for the organization coming off of, you know, Buddy re-signing yesterday, the day before, I can't remember which.
Oh, that's a good deal.
You know, we obviously have put ourselves in a position to be successful, and I think signing that kind of guy, you know, that's the writing on the wall, obviously.
Frank Gonzalez, named Supervisor of Development for the Lancaster Jethawks, High A affiliate of the Rockies. Frank, tell me a little bit about you know, what you've got going on there in Lancaster, and you're seeing a lot of young talent, what you guys are looking forward to get out of this spring.
No doubt, absolutely. Hey, you know, we got about 80 guys in early on their own dime here in, you know, a talking stick, working out every day, going through the routines, taking ground balls. We got pitchers throwing bullpens. I saw 30 bullpens today.
Wow.
We'll see another 25 or 30 tomorrow. These guys have come in early. Nobody really reports till March 1st, and that's the dedication that we have with Colorado right now, the kind of, you know, determination to become the top-notch development organization in baseball, and that's why they're here. So it's been awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome, Frank. And Frank is right now, he's at the Talking Stick, or what is the name of that place again? It's a beautiful facility.
Salt River Fields.
Yeah, the Salt River Fields, man. That's a beautiful place. We love coming to visit you. And talk about some of the future, too. What do you see coming up? Because I know you had some work with Riley Pint and some other young guys coming up, Tinoco.
Sure.
There's just some good stuff going on there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, pitching is just one side of it. And I think Riley and, you know, we can talk about Riley and Michael Nikorak, a couple high-round draft picks, high school kids. It's their time. I think Jeff, you know, our GM has mentioned it publicly, saying, hey, these kids have been around now 3, 4, 5 years. It's time to make a move and show that they're definitely worth the value that we placed on them when we signed them. And so the expectations there. The attention to detail and how they go about their business as young players, 22, 23-year-old kids, it's tremendous. And I think you're going to see some bright things come. I saw a bullpen today from Riley Pine.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's literally 100. I mean, it's 100 miles an hour all the time.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. So we're excited about what we see with our youth. And offensively, we've got some guys coming up. We had a kid last year named Boswell in the organization. He had 30 home runs between Asheville and California League. And so he's a second baseman, left-handed bat, and that's just one of many, obviously.
I think, Frank, you said a lot there, and it's exciting and it's energetic, especially being a Colorado Rockies fan, to know what kind of investment in the future that the organization is putting together. And that investment is being paid. You know, you're seeing the dividends now with guys like Marquez, with guys like Freeland, with guys like Sensatella, and to know that pipeline is there. It is super exciting. Can you talk to me a little about, you know, what makes a Marquez, a Sensatella, Freeland? What do those guys have in common that has given them, you know, their ability to get up here and stay up here?
Well, I think the teaching and the continuity in our lower levels is there. You know, we hate to say it, but we're going to say it here, and I'm not shy or bashful, so I'll just tell you straight out, man. Some of the best instructors in the game are in the lower levels. You know, that's just the way it is. So, you know, I'm privileged to be able to work with our top guys. I think there's 6 or 7 guys in the big leagues now, including guys like Castellani that are coming up. I had Sensatella his first year. Being around some of these players and watching them develop, move, and become very positive and very confident in how they go about their business every day is an attribute to our coaching staff in the lower levels. So that, for me, number one, we don't turn over a ton in the minor leagues, and our guys are grinding, man. We're grinding every day in the trenches to get these guys ready to become big league players.
Wow, that's awesome insight.
Frank Gonzalez with Lancaster right now. And I appreciate that you said that, and I appreciate your candor because, you know, being a professional, business professional, and in the sales field, absolutely, I agree 100% with you. Yeah, we got a great leadership and culture, but it's us grinding every day that make it happen, right?
That's
amen
it,
to that, man.
That's it.
Absolutely, no doubt. You're only as good as the people that are working every day to make everybody around you better.
You have to buy in.
That's all you got. That's all you got. You got to drink the juice, man. You got to sip on the Kool-Aid, and that's what we're trying to get.
That Kool-Aid's purple, baby.
No doubt.
Hey, Frank, one thing I want to ask you, you know, a lot of things go into the psychological aspect of pitching at altitude, pitching at Coors Field. Have you guys been able to identify anything that you can help these young guys with as they start to make this transition and as they start to wrap their heads around what it means to pitch at Coors Field?
That's a great question. I think even back in the era with, you know, when Dan O'Dowd was our GM, when I came on board here, we talked about that. And Dan used to publicly say that it's a tough place to pitch, tough place to play. And there's altitude and there's recovery. And I believe that we don't talk enough about how it's hard to recover in altitude. That's one thing in general. But getting the ball down, I can tell you this much. A ground ball pitch is a ground ball pitch. So if you make ground ball pitches and they're hit in that fashion, those ground balls work. And I know that 60-70% of most ground balls hit on the ground turn into outs. And so we feel pretty comfortable about how we're developing our guys to throw ground balls. And I think at the end of the day, if we continue to develop guys who are ground ball type pitchers with some stuff like Freeland, and the inside part of Kyle is tremendous, as good as his athletic abilities, mm-hmm. but what's internal in terms of a competitor is what we're really looking for.
Yeah,
Frank, I got a question for you, and I'm going to take you back to last season and some of the challenges that John Gray had. We're actually Buddy sent him. You know, he did have some time back down. To kind of get his head straight and what was going on. You know, as someone who has been around pitchers, you are a development
expert.
That's what you do. Can you kind of help the fans understand maybe what these challenges were that John Gray was facing and kind of what you see going into the 2019 season that can be expected out of him?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, as somebody's, witnessed professional baseball, pushing 20 years in the game, one thing for sure, it's humbling to understand how to get big league hitters out on a day in and day out basis, and on the other side, how to hit big league pitching. It's not an easy thing to do, and I can tell you this much: having a son in the big leagues, and Marco is very candid about how exhausting it is to get through an inning in the big leagues. If you're really, really applying yourself mentally to focus on every pitch, every location, and try and get a read on what the hitter's trying to do, you'll be exhausted after an inning or two. You'll be absolutely wore out. And I think learning how to do that and deal with that is part of what John has had to do. And I think he's done a great job doing that. We see guys who develop a little quicker, and I'll use Kyle Freeland as an example. Here's a guy who's figured that out and understand how to grind through the game, make pitches, maybe give up a hit, maybe give up a couple runs, but still keep your team in the ball game. And I think that's what, at the end of the day, is all we're looking for at Coors Field. If you can keep limitations in the 3-4, even 5 run range, we got a chance to win at Coors Field.
Man,
that's these guys are doing. That with these young pitchers that Colorado has put together right now, and this staff is giving the Rockies a chance to win every single time they take the diamond, whether you're in Coors Field or you're not. I mean, look what Freeland did last year at home. Look at his home versus away splits. So, to exactly what you said there, Frank.
Cooking, man.
Yeah.
Cooking.
I'm excited to see what John Gray is going to be able to come out. I think that from a mental standpoint, he's got to be strong. He's got to come out there. And if he can get back to being John Gray of 2 years ago, then the Rockies are going to have something very special. Don't you think, Frank?
Absolutely. No doubt. I think he is a guy that we've surrounded him purposely with the type of players that are around him on the pitching side. And I think it's not an accident that you've got Marquez and you've got Freeland, that are right there. And obviously Chad Bettis is as tough as they come. So So it is unbelievable to be in that kind of atmosphere. Our clubhouse, you know, from our standpoint, is great, and I'm just excited to see how these guys develop the rest of the year.
Before we let you go, Frank, just one real quick. Max has a question. I want to ask you real quick. I just want to get your thoughts on Brandon Rogers.
Brandon's unbelievable. He's an athletic kid. You know, there's a lot of power in that body. You know, you look at him, and it's not DJ LeMahieu, 6'4", 6'5". It's a different type of player. He's an exciting kid. I think he's got a chance to be great. We'll just have to see how it plays out. But we've obviously invested in him, and it's like I said, with these young guys, the expectation is high. So we're hoping that he rises to the challenge. But nothing but good stuff there with Rogers for sure.
Hey, Frank, Coach Max here. Thanks for taking the time, man. I appreciate it. I mean, we can talk baseball and Rockies with you for the rest of the show, and we'd love to have you. We would love to have you back on, maybe.
Yeah, if we can check in during the season,
that'd
be
great. Awesome. And just having you there, and your I wanted you to talk about that word, because you and I have talked baseball many moons and many nights, and you always talk about mentacle. And I always have loved that word, and I know you know what I'm talking about, but you talked about mentacle. Can you kind of close us out with that?
Absolutely. No, it's fun. It's a fun word. I mean, it's something that I made up years ago, and it's something that I think that when guys are in that position, and they talk about, you know, players of the NBA like Michael Jordan, and they talked about being in the moment, and I think, you know, the mental and the physical have to somehow overlap, and I think that's how I came up with the word mentacle. You can really be in the moment and be in the good zone. Stuff. There's lots of books about being in the zone. The mentacle moment is really about being in that presence within yourself, both physically and mentally combined.
Man, that's cool.
That's awesome, Frank. Thank you, buddy. My life is mentacle now. Love you, bro.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, right, Frank.
Man. Go Rockies.
Hey, by the way, the DNA is amazing. Your son, Marco, was our first guest on here, and what an interview. This guy is, he first is the epitome kid. Of professional as well as candid as well. You know, he was very transparent, and we appreciated it, and awesome. Wish him the best of continued success to both of you and your other son.
Alex. Too,
Alex,
baby.
Exactly. Yep. As we go on. Thank you so much, Frank.
Hi, guys. Good luck. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you,
buddy.
Frank Gonzalez just started his second year in his new role with the Colorado Rockies organization, the Lancaster Jethawks. A great interview there. Love the candor. Great insight. I hope you guys, you know, you were listening, tuning in. We'll have that up on our podcast as well. When we come back, the interviews keep on coming. We're going to continue the great Denver connections.
Manchester.
There. Manchester. And we're going Manchester. We'll let you know. Director of Business Operations for the Colorado Mammoth, James Merlat, joins us next here on Inside the Fan Cave.
Max, Tony Comis, two guys with thoughts from the Fan Cave, Mile High Sports Radio.
Inside the Fan Cave, Tuesday, 6:33 p.m.
Flying right by.
It is. Thank you for joining us. Last segment, you heard Frank Gonzalez. Player development with Lancaster, their high A affiliate for the Rockies.
He's
great
the pitching
insight.
The pitching whisperer, man. That guy, he's just got it going on with these young pitchers for the Rockies. And he's a Colorado-born guy, so altitude, it's nothing. It's all a mentical thing.
Mentical.
But great stuff from Coach Gons, the skip. We'll get more of him throughout the baseball season.
Talking Nolan Arenado on Nolan Arenado Day, which technically, Kyle, you brought up a great point. It should be the 28th.
Yeah, can they just held it off two more days?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been perfect. And we're going to take the 28th caller. Okay. So, Kyle.
That's
Jake. Or Jake, Kyle. I'm looking at you, Kyle. Jake. So, one person can call in 28 times. And no family members, because I know I got family listening in La Junta, Pueblo, Fort Collins. Samson, I'm going to give the CSU softball a
disclaimer.
How much you paying them? No.
I know, right? So the 28th caller in honor of number 28, Nolan Arenado, you're going to get two tickets, prime seats. It's on a June 1st evening at Coors Field. And then right now we have waiting on the line a graduate of North Glen High School. He also went to Westview Elementary and a founding partner at Mile High Sports, worked for the Broncos, and now he's an executive with the Mammoth. Had one of the best radio shows in the morning, and he's known as Manchester. Are you there?
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
How did you forget my time at Huron Junior High?
I forgot that one. I always remembered the Westview because I work with that school too. So I'm like, I always admired that. Don't ever forget where you came from.
I'm just glad you're not taking the 260 millionth caller tonight. That would be tough.
Well, we were going to do 1340.
One for every Powerball dollar out there.
We're hoping we have 28 callers that will call. In the studio, like, do you think 28 people will call and try to win these days?
Well, James, you would probably be able to attest to this, right? And by the way, this is James Merrillat, also known as Manchester. You guys recognize the voice from his time on Altitude, also, and just a legend here. Director of Business Operations with the Colorado Mammoth. Usually when we do a contest, we have to give the phone number out, right, James?
Yeah, usually.
Oh, I forgot to do that.
Little 303-831-1340.
Oh, thank you, buddy. That a baby, Manchester.
What is this? By the way, I was talking to Doug earlier today, and they kept everyone. You know, Max is referring as Manchester. He's referring as Manchester. What's the story? What is the story behind Manchester?
Well, I was doing a show with Vic Lombardi at the time, and it was about 2 years ago, right now, because he was doing. He would come in every morning and give his review of one of the best picture nominees for the Oscars. Yeah. And he was doing Manchester by the Sea, and he's talking about how depressing this movie is, and all of a sudden he stops in the middle of his sentence. He looks across the table and points at me and goes, "The only thing more depressing is you. You're more depressing. You're Manchester from now on." The name has stuck 2 years in running.
Oh, my God. That's
James,
a great story.
I know we just met, but I think you're a pretty, pretty energetic guy. Like, I've got a good vibe from
exactly.
you. He's
I
a good
mean,
dude,
you know,
man.
I'm a realist. So sometimes when you're a little bit of a Kool-Aid drinker, you think a realist is pessimistic. Eh?
Don't you use that.
I'm not negative at all.
Don't you use that word in today's society, realist? You're going to offend everybody by saying that.
And we got Manchester. Go ahead, man. Go ahead, James.
And I get it. We're all fans, right? And so as a fan, you want to think everything's going to work out. You want to think it is the positive. You want to, you know, believe that it's going to happen. But, you know, I always looked at it as, hey, Bob, is to point out that trying to defend a Super Bowl championship with a quarterback who's taken one NFL snap and it's a kneel down is not a real good idea. If that's considered negative versus being a realist, okay, but I think the proof was in the pudding. It was not John Elway's best game plan.
No, I was going to play a game with you, Manchester. Two words. It's called the two-word game.
Okay.
Two words. Nolan Arenado's $260 million contract.
Let's see, two words. Okay, I'm going to go with Modest Gamble.
Ooh, I like it.
By whom? Nolan or by the Rockies?
By the Rockies.
Ooh, I like
Nolan's
it.
Nolan's got the opportunity, if reports are right.
He's got nothing to lose.
Oh.
Yeah. And he'll, you know, if he gets hurt or, he all of a sudden loses his ability to field and can't hit, he's still going to get his money. So look, the Rockies were in a position where it's the best player in franchise history. I don't even think there's any doubt about it. Todd Helton fans will be mad at me, but it is what it is. So he's the best player in franchise history. You have to keep him around. You can't continually just be trying to rebuild. When you're a mid-market team like the Rockies and you're in that window, you have to try and strike. And they're in that position. The Royals were, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, and you kind of got to push your chips.
Well, the Astros, too.
Exactly. So I get it. Like, they have to do it, but we also saw here, and Nolan Arenado's younger, so I don't expect this to happen, but we saw the Rockies give Todd Helton a big contract.
Right.
Yep. And by the last 3 or 4 years of that contract, that thing was an albatross. I mean, it prevented him from doing other things.
He got a horse, though. He did get a horse.
So, yeah, exactly. So I don't think this is going to go this way. I would have done it. The Rockies deserve all kinds of credit. I've said for years, and said it on the radio and in writing, that the Montfords get a bad rap because people call me, name 5 or 6 guys they gave big money contracts to stay here. I'm hard pressed to find guys that they let leave because of money. I mean, Matt Holliday, but they offered Holliday money. He decided to take money over. But, you know, they gave Cargo a big contract, Helton a big contract, Chulo a big contract, and then had to unload it. I mean, the list goes on and on and on with you know, Charlie and now Nolan. So the Montfords get a bad rap. They had to do this. modest gamble because you wonder what the back half of this contract is going to be, but you just got to cross your fingers and worry about that later.
That's a great take, James. Two words again. Denver Nuggets. Two-word game. The Denver Nuggets.
Ah, boy. Okay. Two words for the Nuggets. Contenders. How about that?
What was the second word?
It broke up. Contenders, not pretenders?
No, contenders. And then the second word is soon. They're going to be a contender next year or the year after once the Warriors aren't the Warriors. But, you know, we saw, what, a month and a half ago when the Warriors came in here and decided to make a point. That team's just on another level, but you know, the Nuggets could be the second best team in the league this year. They really can make that argument, and you know, there's no shame in that. The problem is there's a team that is, you know, perhaps historically good, at least in terms of talent, but this Nugget team is going to stick around, and they're going to be a legit contender. Because that Warriors can't stay together forever. They're going to be a legit contender once that group breaks up a little bit for 5, 6, 7 years. They're a very, very good basketball team.
Would you agree, James, we're with James Merrillat, Director of Business Operations, Manchester, Colorado, Mammoth Alton is Manchester, the most the most negative and guy in all of the world, depressing. He's so depressing. By the way, James, I just wanted you to know, Jake has not stopped picking up the phone in that booth.
He's got, bring the ratings for
you
his
are bringing
Manchester.
A man. Bring
we
it.
Have, we have 24 calls right now.
He's working. James is working two cell phones though right now. That's what the
excellent.
He's dialing it up.
I wanted to do one more two-word with you, James. Phone. Oh yeah, James, one more two-word. The state of the Denver Broncos.
Total mess.
Oh, elaborate, please, James.
This is why we love Manchester.
I mean Manchester.
They continue to try to patch this thing together, and until you have a quarterback, that you're going to try it, he's either Peyton Manning, which is manna from heaven that falls once in a blue moon, and he's ready-made to be a championship-caliber quarterback. The only other option is you get a young guy, he's a quarterback of the future, and you try and build for the next decade. You can't continually try to win in that league by filling the most important position with somebody else's cast-off. It doesn't work. I mean, there was a reason why the Vikings, who saw Case Keenum every single day in practice, decided, nope, we're going to go in another direction. We want to go get Kirk Cousins, who was a guy that the Redskins saw every single day in practice and decided, nope, we're going to go in a different direction and go get Alex Smith, who was a guy the Chiefs saw every single day in practice and decided, we're going to go a different direction and go with Patrick Mahomes. Which team got that right? The Chiefs, who drafted a guy who had unbelievable ability and said, we're going to go with this guy for the next decade instead of a journeyman quarterback who, he can play the position, but the NFL, heck, the Broncos this year, they were 6-10. They were 5 plays away from being 11-5, and 5 plays away from being 3-13. Like, it's 1 to 2 or 3 or 4 plays a game. If you have a special quarterback, that can lift you like it did the Chiefs, like it does, you know, any number of teams. And the Broncos continue to think they can win with mediocrity at the most important position in sports, and it just ain't going to happen. It's not.
Yeah.
This is the biggest Band-Aid, I think, that that you can try to keep putting on. And it's like, okay, let's go ahead. We're going to rip the scab off, by the way, and I'm just going to put another Band-Aid on. Then I'm going to rip the scab off. Then put another Band-Aid on.
No Neosporin?
You couldn't have said... No, of course not. No Neosporin. None of those quarterbacks deserve Neosporin. None. No, but I understand.
Right. Totally right.
I agree 100% with you. No, not 99, because there's always room for improvement. Yeah. So I'll agree with you 99% that, yes, you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over, and it's not working and looking for a quick fix. But you get it. You know, he's... Elway, the Broncos, they're looking to win now. And I guess, you know... From what's out there, is Joe Flacco, does he give you the best chance to win now, James?
But I coined an acronym BC2W back in 2011 when I kept having people tell me Kyle Orton gives you the best chance to win. And I kept saying, to win what? Like, to go 8-8, 9-7? Maybe. Whereas if you go with Tim Tebow that year and he's an utter disaster of a game like he was against Detroit when they lost 45-10 at home, great, you go 2-14, you get the first pick in the draft, you go pick someone. Or if Tebow comes in and he's special, you have kind of a fun year, and you know, that ultimately ended up helping him get Peyton Manning. best chance to win what? Does he get a better chance to win every Sunday than Case Keenum did? Sure, but they go from a 6-10 team to 8-8, 9-7. They're not a championship-caliber team with him. So I'd much rather have, and I said it at the time, you got the fifth pick in the draft of a quarterback-rich draft. When you're sitting number five, you have the ability to get anybody you want. You need to trade up to one. You can do it. Get any of those guys. If we were sitting here going year two of Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, we'd be kind of pumped about what the future holds. Instead, just in holding pattern. We're just circling over DIA waiting for the storm to clear, and the storm ain't everything to clear.
Manchester, you're just on fire tonight, buddy.
I'm used to doing mornings. I love it.
Hey, tell us about the Mammoth. What's going on March 9th? I heard something good is brewing. I heard you on The Final Word. That's a good show, by the way, on Sunday mornings.
March 9th, Saturday, 7 o'clock, we'll be back here at Pepsi Center hosting San Diego, which is an expansion team headed up by Steve Devitt, who was here in Denver running the Mammoth for a long, long time. It's Colorado night, so we'll be doing a bunch of cool things in arena in terms of what our guys are wearing that are all Colorado themed. But then there's going to be a lot of great ticket prices that are all based on Colorado themes. So
we're bringing the Bombers, baby. We're going to bring the Bombers.
76. Yeah, come on down. So it's going to be a fun night. We're trying to pack the place on Colorado night and show those guys what it's all about to be here. So really what we're doing is we're celebrating the fact that we all get to live in the best state in the union, and it's going to be a whole night all about that.
Congratulations, awesome, James. By the way, you have one of the best sports information directors, I guess, whoever wrote up the last post-game review there of the game against, what was 9-7, I think you guys took a tough loss, but it was against the Saskatchewan team, who has yet to have been held under 10 goals in one game. But your Colorado Mammoth did that, and I was very impressed with that write-up. I can tell you that right now. That's good.
She's on the positive in that one. It's sort That's of it. The hey, if you hold somebody in this league under 10, you ought to win. But we didn't quite get it there. But it's one of those things. Like I told the guys on Sunday, we're 4 or 5 goals from being 6-3. But as Bill Parcells always said, you are what you are. So we're 3-6 at the moment, but we got half a season to turn it around. So we got to get that started on March 9th when everybody comes out.
We appreciate everything you guys do. Yeah, we're going to mark that date on our calendar.
James, we'll be there.
James Merrillat, Director of Business Operations for the Colorado Mammoth. James, thank you so much. I love the takes. I wish we had another. I could go another hour.
We got to bring him back.
Responding to all of that.
We got to bring him back.
So we appreciate you coming on. Best of luck March 3rd, next game lined up for the Mammoth. And March 3rd is the away game. March 9th is the home game.
Yep,
so we appreciate it. Thanks, James.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Manchester.
Inside the Fan Cave, just back-to-back bomb interviews right there on Nolan Arenado, $260 million day. He won the Powerball. Kyle, what's up, bud?
I'm watching the show, guys.
We come back. Okay. We're going to talk CSU spring football. So we're going to get in depth there. Kind of wrap this up. Jake's going to let us know if we have a winner online. And we also have three. We're taking your texts. We're also taking your calls. Let's close out this show strong.
Call in. Talk to the cowbell.
It's inside the Fan Cave. Here on Mile High Sports Radio. All right.
Inside the Fan Cave with Max and Tony Comis, Tuesdays at 6 on Mile High Sports.
Offensive line had trouble blocking Emmanuel Jones all day. Thought he wreaked havoc all day in the backfield. Just his size and his strength presented some problems for us at the tackle position.
Right there. It's football again. Yes, I know it's still February, but it is spring football. Right there, you heard from Coach, CSU head coach Mike Bobo. In studio, we've got Kyle Bell, former CSU great, football great, running back, Tony Comis, alongside me, LJ Maximo, great show. I want to talk some CSU football, Kyle. We kind of led that off on this Nolan Arenado Powerball Day. And it's a little bit different. Me coming from Florida, you know, spring football can start a little bit later, a little bit earlier, depends. But, you know, being around the program, being a part of CSU, and I want to give the fans a little bit more of kind of an understanding of spring football. Not really spring football, okay, started, when's the game? When can we tailgate again, by the way, on campus? But, you know, what goes into spring football? From a former player's perspective, you know, what was your thought process going in?
It's a 15-day audition. Really, that's what that's kind of that mentality. And especially when I was, you know, coming out of my freshman and sophomore year, my freshman year especially, but that is your opportunity to kind of cement, you know, your spot, you know, what the expectations can be when August rolls around, when late July, August rolls around. You know, where are you going to be on the depth chart? And this is the ideal opportunity to do that. Now, it starts in January when the team gets back together for conditioning. I mean, all those 5 o'clock mornings, mat drills, as we used to call them, we did those in the auxiliary gym. I mean, from 5 to 6 a.m. that's where the foundation starts. And it's an intense 8-week process of the conditioning and kind of working up to that point where you're actually at spring ball. So spring ball for me was kind of the reward. That was kind of the payoff for all that work you did leading up to it. But that's where the coaches really look to, okay, who's grasping the fundamentals? Who is wrapping their head around the playbook? Who is putting in the time outside of practice and outside of meetings when we're not preparing for games, when it's not the actual season? And that, from a player standpoint, that's your chance to really make a mark and really impress the coaching staff, impress your teammates with the work ethic and how you're going to compose yourself when there's no game to prepare for, but you're still taking that same mentality that you're preparing for as if it was September, as if it was October. So that's really where you start to separate the upper elite players when you talk about Division I and in college football.
And I think, yeah, what to your point right there is that what spring football is an opportunity. Would you agree that spring football is an opportunity to really kind of separate and develop, not really as much physically, but mentally? Is that really kind of, because I could see where,
like mentical?
Mental aspect of it.
Exactly. Because
word of the day.
There isn't an opponent to prepare for week in and week out, a different one, a different game plan being installed and whatnot. So you're seeing the same guys across the line every single day. You're trying to hit the ABC gaps, and you're seeing the same dang linebackers there every single time. So I would think mentally that's something that you really kind of, I think the coaches kind of can gauge you on.
Well, yeah, it's an opportunity for the game to start slowing down a little bit. I did play as a true freshman. I was working on connecting everything, you know, still understanding the playbook and the speed of the game and the level of the physicality that it takes to play at Division I level. And then spring ball was kind of that springboard to take everything that I kind of had accumulated over the course of my first season and say, okay, now I feel like I've got a good foundation. Now it's time to really take it to the next level. Now it's time to start establishing myself, working my way up the depth chart and showing this coaching staff and my teammates that, hey, I can really be, you know, a big integral part and contribute a lot to the next season.
Fans don't understand. This is when positions battles are won. In the spring.
It's not sexy from a fan standpoint. Right. You know, we're not Nebraska or the SEC schools where you sell out the stadium for the spring game, but this is a big time, and especially now with the state of Colorado State football, with Coach Bobo kind of now the expectations coming out of a down year. I mean, this is a big opportunity, and this is a real pivotal moment for the program, I think, as we move forward into next year. And a lot of times, you know, fans and alumni don't really understand that, but if you just go and watch the intensity of these practices and the effort that the players and the coaching staffs, you wouldn't know that it wasn't August.
That's a great point.
Well said. Thanks for the for the spring football CSU insight, because it's exactly what, you know, for me, I like to know, I want to know a little bit more about, from an in-depth standpoint. I'm an analytical guy, so I want to know, you know, kind of the reasoning behind everything. And spring football, to me, before, used to just be, oh, okay, it's practice. Mm-hmm. We play a practice game.
And now you got...
That's not it, man.
And then you get seniors that sign that are going as seniors early enrollees in high school.
Yeah. We got to wrap this thing up. Yeah.
Oh, man, we need another hour.
Great edition of the Fan Cave. Hour. Yeah, I know. We actually probably could if we wanted to. But
great
we
show,
appreciate
Jake.
You guys listening. For Kyle Bell, for Kyle. LJ Maximo, back, follow us on Twitter at Cave5280. Don't forget, download the Mile High Radio app. Tune in 24/7, 365. Watch live stream, listen to the podcast, and listen to us. We'll see you next Tuesday, 6 to 7 o'clock. It's Mile High Sports Radio inside the Fan Cave. Jake Meyer, thank you very much, man. We did have a winner for the tickets, by the way. Yep. Congratulations to Iron Mike, who has fingers of stone and one heck of a work ethic. Thank you, Mike. Congratulations. You get those seats. Later, guys.
For redial.
Later.